Hello, mate.
Hello, mate.
How are you?
Do you know what? This is our first one since the time lag of the UEFA Cup final, Hugh.
Well, hopefully this will come out in September and you'll be bottom of the league.
Yeah, we no doubt will be with our new manager.
Well, we've been fucking relegated. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Me and all of the whole of the Man United fans base.
I've been talking to loads of mates recently. Obviously, it's been a couple of weeks now since the final and we've lost Big Ange.
Yeah, you lost to Brighton as well, 4-1 at home. Sorry, yeah.
The other interesting thing is we're like, is it now a poison chalice to be in the Champions League and be shit? I'd much rather be shit and be out of the Champions League.
We've done that one.
Yeah.
So no, well done. I mean, it was good. I honestly, I'm pleased for you because I'm a football fan and United won a lot, so it's great Spurs are back on the map. I genuinely hope you're all right.
Yeah. Anyway, that's enough of the football chat. We've done weeks and weeks of football.
We've done way too much football.
Yeah,
it's football free now.
Yeah.
So we've got Rick Brim today.
Yes, we have. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah. So he's just launched his own agency, which is very well timed, Ace of Hearts. So we're going to get him in. Rick's done loads of great work and has just a brilliant voice for the industry. So I think he's going to be dead interesting. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's good. Well, we talked around some of this work before that we're going to talk about today, but it'd be good to hear from him and see.
Yeah.
Also hear all about Ace of Hearts. It sounds like it's going to be a journey for him.
Yeah, they're just around the corner, I think. So I'll go and get him in a minute. But I was going to mention a few things I've seen recently. Ooh, that's nice.
Ooh, that's nice. Ooh.
Fucking hell, it's turned into John Inman. There was a nice campaign from Waitrose. As a great line, anything's a kebab if you can put a skewer through it.
Oh, nice.
So that was good.
Oh, that's nice. Do I have to say that after every one that he's there?
Actually, this is quite a good feature, isn't it? Right. And we had Weetabix, they had a homage to Ray.
Oh, that's nice.
So I'm just going to cover unprofessional for you. That's too much. There was a sweet thing from Atomic. For the Clipper boat, it used the sort of the shape of the river to feed into the bottom of the thing. And then there was something just actually quite funny, all of this this section is sponsored by Vue2Fill, and Vue2Fill do photography and video of all out of home work.
They are the experts.
And I saw this bus when I was coming out of Adam and Eve on Paddington, and it's Beckham, boss. With his pants on, and the wheel of the bus.
The wheel is right on his crotch.
Yeah. And I have to say, there's a theme.
That's a design decision, isn't it? That is someone's design decision.
There's this testicle thing going on. So a few weeks ago, we had Lynx, Scratch and Sniff. Then we had meatballs for a deodorant for your balls.
Everyone's focused on balls, on Beckham's balls.
And then a guy wrote to me yesterday from FP7 McCann Dubai.
Yeah.
With another testicle campaign, which has got shortlisted at Cannes.
Excellent.
So, like, if you've got anything...
Well, anything ball-related, send it to us. Is that anything testicle-related?
So that's what's been going on. That's nice. Sponsored by Vue2Fill. So we're very, very pleased with that.
Yes, good. Shall we get Rick?
Yeah, I'll run off and we'll crack on. That signifies that this show's starting.
Right, with the clap. When it claps.
With the clever clap.
Brilliant.
We won't do that clap joke that we had once.
But when you... Who's got the clap?
Anyway, Rick Brim, co-founder and CCO of Adland's newest agency, Ace of Hearts, welcome to Behind the Billboard.
You could have done that much more energetic. Come on, that was really good.
No, but because the clap thing threw me.
Well, I clap, and then you...
Right, ready... Do you want to clap again?
By the way, we're not editing that bit out. You're just going to have to go again. You just have to bring the
okay.
energy.
Rick Brim.
Yes.
Co-founder and CCO of Adland's newest agency, Ace of Hearts. Welcome to Behind the Billboard.
Hello. That was brilliant. Very energetic.
Yeah.
You went a little bit Irish in the middle of it. Yeah.
And then a bit of our American. I'm actually still feeling hungover. So I had a very large night Saturday.
Good.
And I'm feeling it still.
2-day hangover.
That's
pretty good.
That's age. Yeah.
But then he did and drank again.
Father's Day. So I tucked in while I was given permission to have some Sunday afternoon apples.
Shit. No one was there. My wife's gone away, my daughter's away, and the other one went to her boyfriend's. So I woke up, no one.
Perfect. That's the ideal.
Did you get any Father's Day?
I did. I got lunch booked and then...
Oh, God, lunch.
Yeah, it was nice.
Snooze on the couch.
And then I cooked something last night.
But surely, so we got to jump straight in actually about the, you know, joking aside, the big news of your agency launching.
Yeah.
I'm sort of, I immediately thought, why is he here? Because he should be at work.
Yeah. So, yeah.
How many days in are we? What's the day count?
We're officially 10 days. No, yeah, week one. Week two, seven days.
Monday, week two.
Yeah, how is it all? You were telling us a little bit earlier about...
So basically this is going to be like a 20-minute podcast because you've got to get back to work and get
Yeah. And then...
You're like, can we get through these questions, please, guys? Come on.
No, it's so... It's weird. It's really, really weird. It's brilliant, but it's really weird. It's... I mean, I'm so lucky to have worked where I've worked and Adam and Eve and all the other agencies and... They run so, they're such well-oiled machines. Mm. And then when that's taken away from you, you realise how unwell-oiled you are. We had a meeting last week and it was just about 10 minutes before. We were just like,
Where's the stuff?
Like, who's going to go and get the coffees? And luckily there's an M&S next door to our building. So yeah, that was, there was a last minute M&S dash, but yeah, it's good. It's great. What's great is being around the work again and being and it being sort of exciting and seven people around a table. And
are you the entire creative department
at the moment? Yeah,
yeah.
A couple of good, great freelancers.
You could be,
but yeah, yeah,
great.
Yeah, but it's that thing of, I think all the way through lockdown and all the way sometimes when it got really tough. Over the last couple of years, COVID. Me and Bevo just say we just need seven people.
Yeah,
you need seven people, and this and anything can be done.
Yeah, because for all the good bits about room gets booked, stuff comes in. That also, like you said,
the complexities are there as well, right?
Yeah, and it politics takes you away from the bit you kind of go, yeah. Oh, that's the bit I like doing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the bit that's most exciting. Like. I remember I used to work, but Dan and I worked at Burnett's under Tony and Guy.
Mm.
And we were doing some work for Fiat. And we came in on Saturday and there was a table full of sort of stickers and bits of paper and sort of scissors and glue. And the ads were on the wall and a rostrum camera at the end and they're like, right, fella, let's make it. And it was just at art school. And we just made these Fiat. They're great. And we just photographed them. And that's what it feels like. It feels a bit art school-y. It feels like where we can do anything. And yeah, I'm so far so good. So far, and I'm really enjoying it.
The other good thing about it is having been across London Adland for a long time, you can pick and choose the bits from the agencies that you've been at.
Exactly.
To take with you, right? That's the...
Yeah. Yeah. And also, forming how we want this agency to function and what we loved about Adam and Eve. And I mean, I've worked with some brilliant people, brilliant bosses over the years, and they've all taught me something different. And yeah, it's weird when you're looking at a blank sheet of paper and you're like, well, what could this be?
Yeah.
But I do think, like, without getting too sort of on my soapbox and reading you the spiel, I think the industry is changing massively, and it's really exciting to build this. So we don't know what it's going to be. We don't know how it's going to play. We just know that we want creativity to be slightly up the chain rather than just the colouring in.
Yeah.
So. That's kind of what we're doing, but we're not going to come out and say we're about this or we're about that, because I don't think anybody that says that is truthful. I think they're
all it's hard.
And you can evolve that over time, right?
Yeah, you evolve it with. I mean, AI is going to have a profound effect, but I think it terrified me at Adam and Eve because it meant a lot of shit. How do we get on board with this, and how do we make this work with our model? Whereas this is, how do our model work with it? We don't have to sort of retrofit anything.
Yeah, that's great. So, and your office is quite close to we're in Soho Radio, right? You're pretty close.
Yeah,
just around the corner.
It's on the corner of, I get the names wrong, Noel and Berwick.
Right.
It's all I know. It's on the back cover of Definitely Maybe.
Oh, so
it's
no.
Not on the front cover where they're walking away.
Right.
On the back cover,
I like that.
You can see our kitchen window.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's the old frame.
Surely book. You're going to mock that up.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
you've
yeah,
done
yeah,
that,
yeah.
right? Done that.
Well, there's an amazing sort of, there's an amazing vinyl shop down the road, and my kids collect vinyl. So we went in our first night. They came over and we went for dinner. It was my kid, it was Hal's birthday. And we went in there when we bought the, it.
So that's slightly more fun to visit dad there than Paddington.
Yeah, I love Paddington. I won't have a bad word said about Paddington. I love Paddington. I love that building as well. I mean, it's a little bit like, why don't you? It's a little bit like youth club, but that's a good youth club. It's great.
Yeah. I had, cause I've just finished there a few, working there with Gavin on VW, and I sort of, you know, it's a bit of a joke that our Paddington, and then I found this bit. So you go over the bridge and go left and it goes down and it's this sort of like oasis. There's a swimming pool, a Nuffield gym.
Oh, right, yeah.
Pret a Manger.
The basin.
Yeah, the basin. There's this fucking screen and I'm going...
Oh, next to the canal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm going, oh my God, because I love swimming and I love Pret, and I'm thinking, and then I'm working there and I'm going, I've got the lot.
Tick, tick.
yeah.
And if you're feeling a little bit of nature, you jump in the canal. Like.
Exactly. So anyway, right. So we've got a bit ahead of ourselves. We're going to have to do our Rick facts.
Rick facts.
Okay.
Facts. So I have to say, I did go on the internet and AI did give us quite a lot of these.
Okay.
So I'm just going to try and pick the choicey ones. You're indeed the co-founder and CCO of Ace of Hearts. You've had an incredible career to date, 25 years in the industry, winning every, sometimes I say winning literally nearly every gong, but I think you've won every gong in the business. Four Cannes Grand Prix in the same year Harvey Nichols I spent on myself. We're going to talk about that later. During your time at Adam and Eve, agency was named Agency of the Decade, not the year, the decade, by both Cannes and Campaign. You're president of both DNAD and Cannes. And this is the best one. Second best parent in the Brim household. I actually read that somewhere else. I thought that was very funny.
Yeah.
Very,
for the seventh year running.
Honored. Never to be topped.
So we're going to start with, what are we starting with, Dan? Oh, yeah.
The billboard at the end of my street, which is brought to you by Super Optimal Design Intelligence for Out of Home.
Hey, op. What is that you don't know? Have you met?
You sent the questions, and this one I can answer because I saw it the other day,
right?
And I love it. And it's the Pampers,
right?
Have you seen it?
Oh, we love that.
Everything about it is
that's a really good one. Shit,
it's great.
Yeah, that's
we
good.
Normally have rubbish ones.
I know that one. And I mean, obviously, I go in my head. I was like, I don't think you need that many Zs. I don't think you need
start critic.
Yeah. But
how many did you think out of interest?
I don't think you should. Yeah, maybe two, maybe just one.
Would you put it on the word, because people on LinkedIn? We're going, do you change the S? Then you fuck in with the logo and then...
Yeah. Okay, maybe I didn't think about it that much.
No, I've read loads about it. Sorry, it's a bit sad.
But I looked at it, like, I just thought it was great. I thought the photography was great.
Yeah.
I thought the fact the lips are a little bit wet and a bit dribbly.
Yeah.
I thought the squashiness of the...
Imperfect perfection.
Imperfect perfection. I thought it was so simple. So many... Good decisions were made in the production of it.
Very clean, perfect billboard Super Optimal's eyes as well.
And it didn't find itself too clever. It was just like, yeah, cool.
Two bits as well, really, because it was a visual and the logo with the Zs. I'm trying to think. Remember Dave Dye had that thing about you don't need to say Pampers and then Pamper. He said if it's in the logo, then you just use... reduce that agony thing. It's great.
Good. Nice one.
Yeah, that's the billboard at the end of my street. It's in the, on the underground, but it's not. Yeah. Mm.
And what do you think? Obviously, we use this to talk about what's happening in our world at the moment. Other things you've seen out and about. Are you excited about the state of outdoor advertising, or do you think there's still work to be done to get it up to?
You know, I'm a bit torn on this because I think. And I know you guys have touched on it. There's a bit of a renaissance of out of home. And it's good. And I'm glad that it exists. And then there's a bit of me that goes, it's kind of just bread and butter of what we should be doing.
Mm.
And over-celebrating it puts it on a pedestal, but then somebody's doing it, which is good. But I think the state of, I think that should just be, I think that should just be the run of the mill. I mean, Out of Home's, without a shadow of a doubt, my favourite sort of way of distilling an idea. I don't want to say favourite medium because that makes me sound like a nut. but I think what's happening in Out of Home is great, but I don't think we should make it a moment. I think it should just be day to day.
It should be this.
This is what it should be, and we keep on building on it. I don't think we should applaud ourselves for showing a little bit of the logo, because that is very smart and some things are great, but it should be the day to day of what we do. Not
And that works for some brands, the recognisable ones, the ones who have spent the foundational work's been put in over the last 20 to 30 years for some of those brands. But
I think there's different ones. I think there's different ones that really resonated. I loved BA, just because it made you feel something. It made, like, we've all done that. We've all looked out the window. We've all, and it wasn't done in a knowing way. It was just a caught moment of somebody looking out the window that the logo happens to be in it, and you know exactly what it's talking about. I think, again, some really right decisions were made on that.
Yeah.
I mean, I prefer it to the business leisure.
Yeah.
I think it evokes a way more feeling.
It's quicker as well.
Yeah, and it's real. In my old guys, my second home was Heathrow Terminal 5, and it's everywhere, and you saw it all on the way out there, and it made you excited to get on a plane, and there's everything it's meant to do.
And Rick, going back to what you said about this is what it should be. I think it is an exciting medium because it is real, it is public, it's something that deserves it. I think you have to give it the respect. And I think the brands that don't give it that respect, the 70 to 90% mostly that we see that's not right or reformatted from something else, that's a press ad. That shouldn't be a poster. It stands out as being crap. And I think that the stuff that we're seeing now that is being elevated is there because it's purposeful. It's treating the medium with the respect it deserves.
Completely.
People are out and about and it's in their faces.
And also in a world where you've got so much fragmentation in messaging and so many different ways to talk to people. And I think the industry is suffering because we've become more about how we say it rather than what we say.
Mm.
And you just see that with the whole, if you talk to anybody, you talk to my kids about advertising, it's the scary shit that follows around the internet that they think's listening to them, that they hate, and I think that's because we focused on how we say things rather than what we say. And to me, if you look at what's happening with brands like Jacquemus or things like that, and Maybelline, they're doing fake out of home
to
put on social. Out of home is the purest way of distilling an idea down. Yeah. And if it doesn't work in out of home, 9 times out of 10, it's not going to work in however you do it. It's the purest, most simplest way. Look at Specsavers. They have got a big brand idea that they just keep on executing, and it's the purest way of getting.
Yeah, I think people like Maybelline, who are doing the fake out of home stuff and not necessarily backing it up with actual out of home, they're relying on the trust of an outdoor medium, of it being real, to tell a story that's fake. And I don't know, I feel really conflicted about it. It's a nice piece of creativity and it's fun, but don't put it in out of home just to earn the trust thing to make you think, oh, that's real.
We're guilty of that as an industry. We're guilty of that in an industry of putting posters in the same billboard that looks under that flyover that's near Shoreditch. We're guilty of that to sort of show, look at what we've done. And I don't mind it. I am conflicted about it because I'd rather do it.
Yeah.
Because it just prompts somebody else to do it for real.
Yeah.
Rather than it just be.
There's a really good article from Rick Albert, who was with me at Grand Visual, and he wrote a piece recently about fake out of home and its place in our world, and making sure that brands do treat the medium with respect, but also, you know, augmenting something on top of your existing campaign is a fine way of doing that, but not just faking it for faking it.
But also acknowledge that it's fake.
Yeah.
Don't try and pull the wall over.
I think the worst thing is, because say you do an audacious thing, like, I don't know, So I projected Gail Poore onto the House of Commons. You, when you're at Grand Vision, loads of things like the car being suspended in the fucking mm-hmm. air. It's really hard to get that to happen creatively, client, physically. And then for some fucker to go, oh yeah, just mocked it up. You're going, fucking hell.
Yeah. Just yeah.
Gone.
Yeah, yeah, no, I agree.
But then it looks cool. It does look cool. You go, hey, look what we did.
But it's like putting a North Face jacket on Big Ben.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
no, it's all those things. I don't know. At least people are having a go. Like, yeah. I mean, I do think, and we'll talk about it later. I think it's on one of my lists. I do think if you do something for real that looks very, very difficult to do, the impact of that is profoundly more than something.
Well, outdoors are fame medium, right?
Yeah.
Because it is publicly consumed. So when something is good, it elevates very quickly. And when something is good and hard to deliver and it gets done, it goes stratospheric.
Yeah. You don't get that with radio and press ads.
No, you don't.
Well, no, like I saw the Cannes shortlist came out yesterday and I think sometimes like radio, if you broaden the thing to sort of audio,
yeah, audio,
and you're recording things on the fly, there was that, like you're transmitting live from this to do that and to do this, like one of those ideas. I think you can. It's just, I think when we sleepwalk into the medium, we let the medium dictate as opposed to the idea.
Yeah.
That's when you get stuff. If you go, okay, this is an idea. How do we do something amazing around this? And
yeah, rather than fitting into their box,
just
sit a bit higher.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. We're going to start with your first billboard. Can you remember?
Yeah, it was terrible.
Okay, next section.
No, it was terrible. It was. I was at Rainy Kelly, and we had. You're not bringing it up, are you?
No. No. It's just horrified.
He didn't even seem like found it's not in the deck.
And we were.
You don't, honestly, Rick. If
no,
you don't...
actually, the first one I thought was brilliant. And it was for Virgin Atlantic, but it was a really small sort of. It was when Concorde was being decommissioned.
Right.
And Branson wanted to buy it for £1.
Yeah.
And we made it. We made the poster in the shape of a paper aeroplane. Thing that looked like a Concorde. Fun. And then after that, I got onto a bit of a roll with Virgin Media, Virgin Mobile.
Yeah.
And they were just like offers, told in a art direction-y kind of way. They were fun. They were fun.
Yeah. We are going to start with the work. We can start on Shelter. And someone we both spotted, which is going to go back to what you're doing right now, there is a pack of cards involved.
Your new
agency's Ace of Hearts.
And actually the designer who did the identity did that. And
is there a link? Does.
No.
Total coincidence.
Yeah, to the point that we're going with Ace of Hearts, we're going, no, we're never going to have cards anywhere. There's going to be no cards, no sort of iconography of cards.
Right. Where did Ace of Hearts come from?
It came from being a Mancunian and using the overly using the word ace.
Right, okay.
And I hate it. Is that one of those things? And my daughter says like a lot. I think I made it like a lot.
My daughter says like
a lot. And it winds me up. And it winds me up that, oh, that's ace. But we came through from talking of like getting to the heart of business and...
Mm-hmm.
We worked with, I mean, Adam and Eve, it was Feeling First, and we wanted to not do that again, but we wanted to still have sort of emotion at the heart of things, but we wanted to have a winning thing to it.
Yeah.
And so we went around, and we had loads of other names where you just sort of, you say it, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's great. And then you go, no, we sound like dickheads. But Bevo came in one day and was like, I've got the name. And I was like, oh, what is it? He goes, I've just walked past a kid's school, and it's called All Souls Primary. And so why don't we call ourselves All Souls? And I was like...
close.
Right, and I was like...
Too close.
And because we were so desperate for a name, we were like, oh, fucking, that's amazing, yeah. And then after about an hour, he goes, does it sound like...
Arseholes.
And then we don't need any bad nicknames. So, so that's where it came from. And then just the more we started putting rigor around it, and it came from there. And we like, does it feel a little bit light? And then I got my paints out and started painting, scratching it in, and
yeah,
and it just started to come to life from there. And great. And then we tried to top it, and but it's just like, yeah, winning, putting creativity at the heart of business and to nice. Win.
I really could do a whole episode actually about how people
agency names
and
everyone's got an opinion,
yeah, and, yeah. And where did it come from, why was it good, and then because I was thinking on the way in, you got even in the time from Adam and Eve, you've got Neverland, you've got New Commercial Arts, you've got Wonderhood, you've yeah. got Ace of Hearts, are there other ones? You're thinking, how did they all come about and why? And and then, like, once you've done it, you can't go back either. You go to advertising, you're putting a deck together and go, oh, that's a bit shit, I'll take it.
Well, you say, yeah, no, you can't go back. You can't go back.
It's all once printed. It's in the wild.
I was talking to somebody that's possibly coming in. Well, no, I hope yeah. that it's coming in.
Yeah.
And they, we just bought the domain.
Right.
And they said, can I send you some names? And I'm like, yeah, do you not like what we've got? And they were like, no, it's not that we don't like it. No, I don't like it. It's just, can I just send you some of the suggestions? And we're like, yeah, okay. No.
You're there with your red paint.
I'm already in red paint, scratching it in, having ordered the
T-shirt. All the signs.
Yeah, the T-shirts
done.
And everything's done.
Right.
And like brief pentagram on it. I'm like, yeah, cool. Yeah. No problem. Let's change the name.
I'll file them away for you, yeah.
So we better talk about Shelter, House of Cards. So, this would be your time at Leo Burnett.
Yeah.
And yeah, tell us a bit about it. Can you recall how it came about and then how you got to this mega pack of cards?
Yeah, it was... we'd been working for them for a while, and Dan and I remember I just had my first kid, and Dan lived around the corner, and I was on paternity leave, and he called me up and he was like, do you want to go for a pint? I was like, yes, I do want to go. and we were talking about this, and we were talking about what do we do, and it's like, it's a bit, and it was right at 2008. I mean, it was, the world was going to shit, and It was like, well, the whole thing's going to come crashing down, isn't it? We're just having a pint talking about it. And then we just sort of said, it's like, it's a bit like House of Cards. And
right.
And just one thing led to another. And at the time we worked with John Burley, who taught me so much. But what he taught me mainly was, we obviously went in there and you know, Dan, you've met Dan, we're both sort of like, we could do this, and coming in with a million ideas. And John sort of sat us down and sort of calmed us down and was like, just make sure you do every single thing to the best it can be. Don't spread yourself too thin. So, if you're going to do TV, make sure it's brilliant TV. If you're going to do posters, make sure it's brilliant. And so we sort of took a step back a little bit and just calmed down a bit. And We got the film sort of up and running, and then we got the posters up and running, and then what we liked about it and what we tried to do, both Dan and I in our career, and me moving on, is getting that sort of thing in the middle, that idea in the middle, and it doesn't really matter how you execute it. That's got to be sort of spot on, and this was one of the first things we did. So the cards, the pack of cards came later. We made sure that the print and the TV was done, and then the pack of cards came later. But I think the pack of cards ultimately, and the exhibition and the people we got on board and all that sort of stuff, was the thing I'm certainly most proud of, and I think Dan's the same.
So, because it was, you have the idea, has cards, and then, like you say, you do the TV, was it Dom and Nick?
Dominic did the TV, yeah.
And then you go, but then if we got them and got them designed by famous people and sold them, then you make money. Is that?
Yeah, so.
Like a Royal Academy
thing? Yeah, so the John thing in our head, so we got Dom and Nick, and Dom or Nick, I think Dom said, I think we should get Radiohead on this. I think we can get Radiohead as a track. And we're like, right. Okay. And it actually came back and John said, I don't like it. And we had to go back to Dominic and I don't think we can have this track. And they were actually cool. They were like, well, let's get another one. And they got on the phone. I think one of them knows somebody who knows somebody. And we got another track and it worked. It worked way better. So that was that. And then if we were going to design the posters, Blink did the photographers did the posters.
Right.
And then, so we did that well. And then designing the cards, we were like, okay. And so we went to Pentagram and got them to do the identity,
right,
which they agreed overnight. They were like, yeah, come back on Monday.
Wow, brilliant.
And they had the identity, which I'm really proud of because it made it feel bigger.
Mm.
And then we were like, okay, we've got to get these cards made. Who's going to do them? And we just wrote out a wish list of everybody, of the great and the good. And I'd say we got about 70% of them.
That's amazing.
So David Bailey did one. Damien Hirst did one.
Wow.
Mark Quinn.
This Shrigley, is that?
I know. And then these ones were, so we did the, we had all the cards done.
Right.
And that's, I mean, McQueen did one, Vivian Westwood did one. There's a very funny story about her card, which I'll tell you after this. But then once we had that, we were like, okay, we need to do, like, once that was in the bag and we had that, we were like, okay, what do we do about the exhibition, because it was an exhibition in the Royal Academy,
right.
And it was being auctioned by Christie's. So we put out blank templates in poster sites around London, and we got people to go in and fill them. so they just ran with the Queen of Hearts or the Ace of Kings and King. Yeah, what? Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. No, not Ace of Kings. Ace of Hearts, whatever.
Yeah.
And we got people at Container, like various artists, to go out and do them live. Around the underground and different things. So it was just sort of like, we've done this, and then okay, how do we promote the thing, and how do we do?
It's a very cool bit of advice, and I've noticed that on it's like all things you want to remember Steve Hudson said this thing about interrogate the product till it screams, which I always thought was really nice. But then once you stay in that. Get out, stay in that lane. And I know that feeling, because I've done, what about some more ideas? What about something? And you're going, no, but that's the bit.
Make that the best version of itself.
Yeah.
It can be. Yeah, it's really good advice.
I remember someone saying, it's one of the days when you didn't have this sort of speak and say it's a media neutral idea. And you go, what's that? And you go, it's just like a really good idea.
Yeah.
But it's media neutral. You go, it's not a poster. And then you go, oh, that's cool. How does it fit into all these?
I love that thing where you can just put things in the center of the table, like we did it with Marmite, Bevo, together with Till, who used to work at Adam and Eve, had this thing of, well, if you love or hate Marmite, you must be genetically predisposed to love or hate Marmite. and they got the white paper done saying, yeah, like coriander, you're genetically predisposed to love or hate Marmite. You put that in the center. It really doesn't matter what you do off that. You can do so many.
Yeah.
You can great out of home. You do great TV. You can do great. They did swab tests before we even knew what swab tests were. And radio, and then they just kept on iterating. Like, sorry, I spent on myself was that. You just put the joke in the center.
Yeah.
And you just kept on adding to it.
Before we move on tell us the Vivian Westwood.
Oh, right. Yeah. Version. So we were ushered down to her offices, and there's a thing on a canvas, and I think her creative director comes out and very flamboyantly goes, and here it is. Right. And it was just a picture of her head in a bell jar.
Right.
And we're like, and they're looking at us. And we're like, oh, this is great. Yeah, great. It's not a card. She goes, it's just a picture of her in a bell jar. It's a great picture of her. Oh, yes. He goes, and he give me a week. Go back, go into the same office. He's like, ta-da! And they just put the shot inside a card. And you're like, oh, that's a genius. Bravo. But it was a bit sort of like, you're like, ta-da, look at this. And like, yeah, it's great. Thanks.
That's brilliant.
Very good.
Right, so we're going to talk about Think.
Mm.
We've got a few here. So, I mean, we've got three different ones. I wonder, of all of them, is there one?
Yeah, I think the Child Road Safety and the Spilt Pint.
Yeah. the child road safety. So for listeners who might not know this, it's if you use your mobile whilst crossing the road, your kids will copy you. And then underneath it, it's written in children's colourful crayon, mimicking the headline. I mean, it's such a simple idea, but brilliantly put together, right?
Yeah, this was a fun, I think was the brief of the agency. It was a time when we're doing the drug drive campaigns and the drink drive campaigns and the guy smashing on the table in the pub and the guy going through all the different consequences of what would happen. And it was a really rich client. They're not rich, but like it was a really, and they just bought great stuff. And this was, just dead simple. And we sort of got our markers out and made it and presented it like that. And the client goes, yeah, cool, we'll run it. We're like, oh, no, this is. And then we went through a phase of Paul Belford had just opened This Is Real Art.
Right.
And we just sort of worked with him on it. So we gave him all these different things that my kids had done and various kids had done.
Yeah.
And he went to a school and got other kids to do other stuff. And wow. And yeah, just put them together. There's about four or five of them. But
they're great.
Yeah, was it an open brief at the agency, the thing?
Yeah, it always is. Yeah, it always was. And it was one of those things that was quite hard to get in on. But once you got in, you sort of clung on for dear life.
I remember when there's one about crossing the road when it's red.
Yeah.
And I showed my age now, actually, because it was when my kids were little. And I, you know, be fucking hell, that's the worst thing. Crossing a road, swimming and something. We were talking the other day about the things, just simple things, get right.
Yes.
And I remember there looking at the thing and saw the ad. And it's one of those ones where you go, oh, it's a great ad creatively. And then you go, but it's a fucking great ad for real world. Because I'm there going, oh, and I never forgot it. And, you know, and I was like, I was in Japan recently. And even if it's, there's no traffic and it's red, they all wait. Because they're really obedient nation. Whereas we're lovely, like,
well. Well, yeah, I had the same thing yesterday where I was, and my daughter goes, Dad, you're ridiculous.
He's
still here.
Well, yeah. It's great.
So that was Kids Road Safety. And this one was really fun to do because
this is the drink drive where the stain of the person's, there's a picture of someone's.
Yeah, it's like a photograph. It's when if you got photographs wet.
Yes.
They all ran.
Yeah.
And so we just sort of got a load of old photographs, and Dan and I just messing around like we were flatmates at the time, just sort of messing around on this and sort of put it
making
together.
Making it for real.
Yeah, making it for real and just seeing if it worked. And then again, spoke to Paul about it, and he was like, "Yeah." And he does that amazing thing of just like putting a couple of blotches here and putting a little bit of a thing on the logo, and all those sort of things that make stuff. And really, they're
red
sort
wine
of
that one, isn't it, on the logo. It's a brilliant idea though, but did you sort of were you mucking about with it before you came up with the big idea? Because were you thinking, oh, liquid and pictures, or
it was a bit of thinking about liquid and pictures, and then I'd sort of run off and go, do works and look what we can do. And Dan, like, okay, well, then, it's just sort of trying to think about, it's that simple visual, what will be the most impactful? How do you ruin moments with alcohol?
So there's a small headline, driving ban, substantial fine, criminal record, don't let that drink ruin your relationship. And it's a shot of a wedding day and all the liquid is splurged. It's just so brilliantly put together, but it's so simple. And I think just quickly on this, because we move on, but I think the bravery of saying, let's get Paul Belford involved. Because some creatives would go, oh, no, protect it. You know,
no.
You know that. And I think that's old school. But I think this was quite a while ago where you went, because some agencies might go, oh, that person doesn't work in the creative department, and which is all against collaboration.
It's about it. I mean, I've never been about that.
No,
I think it's all. I think
that's why I like it.
You've got to. I can't remember who said it to me ages ago, but idea karma. Like, there's always more good ideas. There's always, and the more people you bring on the journey with you, the more rewarding it is. I think without getting too.
It goes back to what you said earlier on. It's like make this the best version of it can be, which means bringing the experts to do something in production. It's the simple thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean,
you've got an expert,
it's not a million miles from what was given to him, but what and
it's
the brief,
finesse, isn't it? With
it's
him.
Finesse and also, yeah, like the graduation thing is that just how much spills out, and just it's
a different. I think it's difference between like good and great in a way, because you think everyone's thought about this, like you said, they wrung it out rather than just stopping. I remember this thing Danny Brook Taylor told me about Steve Henry, and it was about remember where to put the tent. So I was like, what's that? And so, you know, you're going along with the kids and all day, and he goes, put it here. Oh, no, go around the bay. There's another thing. Go,
yeah.
Put it there. And I get there and go, I don't mind. You know, and it's that thing about how far's too far, but how previous. We're a bit close to the town now. I can, you know.
Yeah.
But it's really interesting, isn't it? To where, how far's too far? I suppose you, as creatives, we have to go quite a long way to go, all right, just come back maybe a bit.
Yeah, but, and it's all right to come back a bit.
Yeah, but if you don't go there, you'll never know, isn't it?
Musicians have the same journey as well.
Right.
It's the same story when you're composing music. You go, oh, actually, I've given it a bit too much. Let's rein it back.
Yeah,
it's great. I think the biggest crime today is everything's so busy that they don't go far enough. And then they just go, oh, it looks like we should look okay, fine, let's move on.
Yeah.
And I think again, with the beauty, I mean, listen, it's all very sort of naive at the moment, like, oh, we want to give people time to do stuff. but look, craft is going to be, has to be a really important thing of what we do.
Yeah. I listened to some interview of John Cleese about Fawlty Towers, the second season, and they said, because they'd gone very well in the first season, there's a show called What's Funny About It. It's fucking great. It just tells you all how they come.
I didn't realize there's only 12 episodes of Fawlty Towers.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, maybe it's, yeah, it was.
Or was it less than that?
I think it might have been
two seasons.
And they said, a second season, what do you want? And he said, I just want one thing. He said, I want twice as much time for the writers, and that's it. And you can pay us the same amount of money. And it's really interesting. So they had, all he bought was time to craft the work. Because he said some points they'd be writing it and virtually performing it.
Yeah.
You know,
So
look, we're going to move on. Sunday Times Rich List at the And Partnership. So Dan and I, we've featured this before, actually. Well, obviously with Dan, but we've had other teams.
He had nothing to do with it.
Different incarnations. But it is... It's such a brilliant client. I remember thinking, oh, fuck, I just don't want to work there just to work on that. Because every time you'd see a campaign, you'd go, oh, that's good as well. But I think this is the one which stands out. Where did it come from? The kind of, it was that trend thing, wasn't it? It's like the size of someone is indelibly linked to how much money they've got.
Yeah, it was a physical representation of how they are.
Yeah,
how wealthy they are, and we just use it in the relationships that they're involved in. I mean, this is like, I mean, it's very much like arriving at Adam and Eve and going, you've got John Lewis brief. Yeah. You arrive at CHI and you've got the Sunday Times Rich List brief, and you're like, A, we've got to get this because we came from Burnett's, where we talked about Think was the brief, and everything else was kind of not the brief,
right?
And this was very much at CHI, at the And Partnership at the time. We had to get it. And so we just went away and just worked on it and just spoke about it. And we had loads of things that I think we preferred. And I actually remember exactly where we were when we were talking about this, because it was a sort of last minute thing. And we were around the corner from CHI in a coffee shop, and we were like, well, what if we, and we're like, let's go back and ask a favor from one of the guys in the studio where they can mock it up, because I maybe and it was in with a stack of stuff. It wasn't a runaway, and it came back. Well, this one and this one, and then we just carried on sort of asking favors, and can we do this one, and can we and I think it was actually the Rolling Stones one where it started to come to life, is where you cut Mick off,
right?
And you were
because he's so big.
Yeah, and we played the same gag with J.K. Rowling as well. And it was like, let's look at things that are going on at that time. So Dragon's Den was massive.
Yeah,
we had one with Philip Green and Simon Cowell walking down the beach. We did one with the Saatchi Brothers and Martin Sorrell.
Oh, that would be good.
We did loads.
Right.
I like really contextual ones.
It's quite funny because Martin Sorrell is quite small, isn't
he? Yeah, but he's worth considerably more than the Saatchi brothers.
Yeah.
It was just that, really.
It's great. I mean, because I'm a United fan and I'm
the Rooney Ferguson.
Your Rooney one,
it's really good. Because you can feel, because he gets angry about things anyway, And that's how the footballers get more than the manager still, and it's all
so, yeah, we did try to once we had the idea, it was like, okay, let's just loads. And some of them, like the J.K. Rowling one, the Harry Potter one, where they're so tiny and you can't even see like she's off in the clouds. Like it was like trying to, how can we play that, those dynamics with them?
But it was all tactically relevant to what was going on that year.
Yeah.
It's where
we were, and then we did like moving ones where they sort of graphic equalized, and we had those on the day of in social and stuff.
How fussy did people get about the actual size and proportion?
Yeah, you would. And I think Dan told this story about Ballantyne. We got some golds in Cannes.
Oh yes,
and there was a party on the sea, the infamous Anne Partnership boat, and Duncan, and we had this.
He was a client.
He was just a friend of a friend of a new someone, and this was up outside the boat, and he came in and goes, "Yeah, I'm worth considerably more, but I'm going to have a very messy divorce."
Oh yeah, that was it.
And he's just like, he just said that he so cared, just the pettiness. But yeah, we used the proportions from the rich list. Yeah. So we had, I mean, the Queen one.
Yeah, that's fucking good, isn't it?
It's just like with the Middletons, like tiny at the end. But
it's funny now, because if you did that now,
and Pippa,
you could ask AI to do it, maybe, or you know, but it
looked considerably better. I mean,
I like it that the way you, yeah.
It's good.
It's lovely. Right, moving on. We've got to keep going.
Sorry.
Right, Harvey Nichols.
No, it's good. You've got lots of great work to
get
through.
Yeah, it's brilliant. So Harvey Nichols, we had Jeremy Cragan on not long ago, and there were literally so many Harvey Nichols campaigns we had. And we had to like not talk about loads because we had to do VW. So it feels like anyone who goes to work at Adam and Eve will get a stab at it. And you had two brilliant ones. You might have had more, but the first one is the sale.
Yeah.
And I've wrote him a note, something like ill-fitting clothing. Wittingly ill-fitting. It's just so brilliant, isn't it? Like, it's a joke.
Well, it's that truth. Like, you go to DDB and you get a Harvey Nichols sale brief, and you're standing on the sort of, well, you're not standing on the shoulder deck, but you're looking down the barrel of
the foundation work that's gone before it.
Yeah, I mean, you just and it was like, okay, well, we have to.
Well, it's almost like a benchmark for you, isn't it?
Yeah,
like they've set the line. Now I've got to.
Yeah,
go
and they all just managed to do it again, which is the idea of consistency in brand. And we had one which was it was sort of guerrilla warfare, you know, where people disguise themselves with t-shirts.
And
we loved it. We absolutely loved it. And it was just like
game.
A Balenciaga t-shirt, like old, but looking like guerrilla warfare. And I think something happened in the world and they were like, we can't go anywhere near that. I'm like, fair. And so this was quite a quick turnaround where we had a stab at going into the meeting and Ben.
Was it a bottom drawer idea that was already there?
No.
React to?
Yeah, no, it was, we were, I remember going around to, Paul Billingsley and Ben Tollett were sat there like thinking what's in the meeting, like, well, we can't go with this gorilla thing. Like, okay, give us, and we just sort of like, well, what happened? You buy shit that doesn't, you forgo the, you forgive it not fitting.
Just because the deal's so good.
Just for the sake of owning it. And it's a truth. Like you buy shoes that are too big or too small. You buy tops that are too big or too small. And so, but just using that as a vehicle. Just thought that the bra and the shoe one to me the funniest.
Did you I was thinking on the shoot. You know, like wardrobe is so particular on advertising film shoots, isn't it?
Especially for fashion houses as well. Yeah. It's like so.
Everything's so
steamed,
cool.
Steamed within an inch. Yeah,
so
of his
you've
life.
Had to purposely fuck up the wardrobe.
Yeah. They were so cool.
So how did you have someone there to? Obviously, everything's got to be wrong.
Yeah.
So how big does, you know, on the shoe? Did you go? Yeah. Oh, is that?
Yeah. What size feet are you? Okay, I'm a size. 6, okay, it was a size 4. Yeah, like none of it's, I mean, there's a bit of retouching, but no, it was, you wanted the pain.
Yeah, it can, but you can really feel it.
Yeah.
And everyone's been there, haven't they? And it's on, I was actually watching Friends yesterday with Martha because I was so hungover, and we went through about 4 in a row, and there's one where Monica's wearing those boots. And it's a classic thing. She can't really, but yeah. She's like, no, they're fine.
And we did go down there and we were like, okay, what is the most comedic way of, like these shoes especially, though, they're with the light, like
you, toes hanging over the
edge. you wanted ones where it would just look as ridiculous as possible.
But they still look trendy somehow. Who was the photographer?
The photographer was a guy called Matt Irwin, who's right. amazing, who's sadly no longer with us, but he was brilliant. And again, when you get like that one, you can see it, like the bra.
The one with the bra, yeah.
The bikini.
Bikini, sorry, yeah.
We just wanted to go for the most ostentatious, ugly Versace one. And he just got the, like, it always helps when, I mean, there's nothing more terrifying than when you work with a photographer or director and halfway through the shoot, you realize they don't get the idea and they don't get the joke. But he really just got the joke and would be texting, going, what about this? And what about this? And
it's good.
Yeah.
It's great. Right. We're going to stick with Harvey Nicks.
Yeah.
I spent it on myself, a Christmas idea, which again, another truth, isn't it? So we did talk to Dan about this and I was trying to think about, obviously it's...
Again, he had nothing to do.
Yeah, very loosely in the room. So because we want to cover a few more things, we probably can't stay too long. But the one thing I did think was, which was clever and which we talked about with Jonathan Burley, which is this, stay in the lane and keep interrogating. So you could have, I imagine, stopped at the TV. You probably got some posters and print, but then he went, when did you go, fuck it, we make them? You were going to make these
products. I think that was the first thing. Yeah.
Because I thought it was like, spent on myself and show a slightly mean scenario.
No, it was the first thing. It was the first thing to make the products. And then that was the thing. And then we were going to show it through MasterChef type video. And then we spoke to James Rouse. And this is what I was saying at the beginning. I think I love the idea where you just have something. And this was a gag.
Right.
And people took it on and retold it and used it. And like, we didn't have a script for the TV. James was just like,
right,
no, we'll just find some really fun people. And he was one of them as well.
Right.
We give them the premise and we just let some fun actors run away with it. And that's how we got
improv.
The whole thing was improv. Mm.
But the thing with the products was interesting.
You made the products funny and then gave them that.
Yeah.
But then you art directed these in a very serious manner. So they look cool. Not like, hey, joke. It's like,
no.
That's again another really interesting, because Harvey Nicks is a high end, cool place, right?
We literally went to their food hall and their and just made it in red. So it feels like it's a budget version.
Because it actually says on the thing, sorry, it says Harvey Nichols, you know, like it's a little product and it says, sorry, I spent on myself gift collection. And this is, authentic Lincolnshire gravel.
So yeah, there was a little bit in the writing. Like there was we've got to have a little bit of premiumness in there rather than just saying plug, like authentic sink plug or Lincolnshire gravel or
multi-bristled
toothbrush. So we just wanted to add, and then Christmas lunch in a tin with all the trimmings.
Oops. Yes.
So what it allowed us to do is it's just like, you can be tight around all the, so we made a downloadable Christmas card. When we sent it out to journos, we made crackers with no bangs. We made champagne with no bubbles, and it just allows you to retell the joke again and again. And actually, I went down on the day of launch, and it was obviously Birmingham, Leeds, Manchester, London.
Right.
And I went to Birmingham, Leeds, and Manchester sold out. And we went to there was an extra sort of, I think we sold 25,000 products, which for four stores is not. But a lady just literally wheeled the display stand over to the counter and said, can I take it? And I want individual bags for each one. And what she was doing was she was using it as their Christmas gift from there. I think I asked her what she was doing. It was for some PR agency. They were sending out to clients as their gifts.
Fucking
and,
hell.
And it was a real sort of moment of like, oh, you're using my gag to be funny.
Yeah.
So did they, because Dan did tell
us... Well, not that, my guy, the guy. Yeah.
But he said the whole thing about him like trying to get prices for gravel and...
We went out and did it. Again, like I was saying at the beginning with Tony, we set up sort of art school at Adam and Eve, and we just had loads of people making them and loads of people sort of...
Oh, great.
And we made 25,000.
But then did you, if you were Harvey Nicks, why wouldn't you do it every year, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe. Well, the next year they went on to something else.
Yeah, anyway, right. Dan's giving me the signal to shut up and hurry up.
Okay.
Project 84, this is for Calm. So Calm, it's got such a high, but I was just going to say, I imagine in Cannes right now, they might be giving a stack of awards to the Missed Birthdays work.
Which I can neither confirm nor deny.
Everything's
been heard.
Brilliant, a brilliant campaign. Yeah. And it's every time. I mean,
but it kicked, Anna might kick this off, and it's going back to what we were talking about before. About, I remember we were at Somerset House and we'd arranged for the agency to go down and see it. And we were having a drink, which felt a bit weird. Mm. But I remember coming out of the loo and looking across the river, and I'd seen that. I'd been there all day. I'd seen it all day, and you just looked up at the building.
But when you see it from framing,
like,
yeah,
fuck me, this is real.
Yeah,
and they're life size, and they're on top of it. But like, what? This is.
Yeah,
and that's the thing about trying to make it as difficult as possible, because the overall impact.
And let's just take a step back to what we were talking about with fake out of home, right? If that had just been done, CGI, put out on social, the impact is far less than people happening upon that, taking photos of it, sharing it on their social.
And
authentic.
And Missed Birthdays, if you actually saw that, it was incredible.
The poignancy of seeing it for real.
Yeah, because it really gets you, come around the corner and you go, wow.
Yeah.
I remember Ant said, he said they wanted it just on this bit. And he said, no, it's got to be there. Yeah. And I think, because, you know, if you stop there, it's not as good as it.
No, you've got to make it difficult.
You've got to make it up there. And I think that's the difference in a lot of the work we've seen from you and Adam and Eve, you know, predominantly, is you go, you've got to get someone to get the last bit. Otherwise, it's just always fall short.
Always keep going. You've always got to keep on going.
And it's beautifully designed as well. The logo, I mean, everything about it. It's a really a great campaign. So we're going to change tone a little bit. We're going to go to Pets Corner.
Pets Corner.
And we're going to have cats and dogs. So we're going to start with Dreamies, which is a cat food. And there was a campaign you did with Dan a while back, which has had just a packet scratched, right?
Yeah, it was. We were sort of new into Adam and Eve, and they gave us, do you want to be creative directors of a unknown pet care thing? And you're like, yeah, go on, why not? Brilliant. And it was these cat treats that are like cat crack, and we just watched loads of videos of cats going in their owner's shopping and just fucking obliterating it. And it was like, but it was one of the first pieces of work we
as
did
in
it.
People had filmed their cats
so people were putting on Facebook just pictures of their cats going in the shopping and going absolutely insane, like ripping crazily ripping into these packs. And we were like, okay, well, that's what the brand is all about. So we were like, well, let's just film a load of cats in a studio and just shoot what we get. And again, it's the obliteration of the logo and all that. But we put a load of cats around these packets, and they it's not artifice. They literally went for it and just shot the packs in ribbons at the end. Brilliant. And it was the sort of purest form of, because it was a consumer behavior. People shared this, and it just said irresistibility, and it just said. Mm. It basically said cat crack without going, this is cat crack.
Yeah.
And then the brand went sort of a little bit awry for a couple of years. Like, we just tried to do different things, different marketeers came in, we're experimenting. And then last year we had this sort of like moment where we were just like, should we go back to that? Irresistibility? Yep, let's go back to irresistibility. And then this was born of that. And this actually went out like 2-3 weeks after I left. But
let's just explain the visual.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, no, it's just a poster site. Well, it's basically just got the product on the pack shot of Dreamies, but they're cats everywhere. But they're scaling it on scaffolding, and they're sort of clawing onto it, and sort of Tom Cruise style cats trying to jump. You know, it's fucking madness.
Oh, it is a pack shot, and then you just do this special bit of these crazed cats trying to get to it.
And the pack is open. That's quite interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. So the pack's open, so you can get like a sniff of it. Yeah. So going back to the just irresistibility, and how can we tell it in interesting ways that look like it's really hard to do?
And did you, because I was thinking this is the way this is done. That's the way it's, because irresistibility, you go, okay, yeah. But then you go, okay, and then show a cat on the poster, you go, oh, that's quite good. But you went for it and then you've made the cat.
Yeah, yeah. There was ones where it was like scaling phone wires and you've got the humour that was put into it.
It's brilliant.
But it was as a scamp, you just knew it was like,
yeah.
And where did the cats end up? Are they all?
I don't know.
I've seen them. They're all in the department.
I believe they're around Adam and Eve.
Oh, are they?
There's award shelves and that. And so when I walked in, I was like, "All right, that's quite funny." And then it's like, "No," and then they're really funny.
There's cats everywhere.
It's just taken. Right, dogs. Big dogs stuck between buildings in New York.
Again, this shouldn't have ever happened, but it did, and it came from an idea that
it's very funny.
IAMS is for healthy dogs living, and there's a thing in the States about dogs are obese, the percentage of obese dogs, and the team Benamite, who are excellent, just said, what happens if we get a dog stuck between a building on the way to Thanksgiving parade to highlight fat dogs?
And for anyone who doesn't know, the Thanksgiving parade in New York in...
big balloons,
They're big balloons that they walk down the road as part of the parade.
Yeah, so this is predominantly for the US market, but it's just a big fat dog stuck in between two buildings. And then and we presented it, and one of the clients was like, this is ridiculous. Why would we do this? And then luckily we'd and one of them was like, this is fire. and one of them, we'd put this whole thing underneath it of like, well, this is actually our dog and we follow his weight loss journey. And we, and all the PR that went behind
All
the things and da, da, and it's dumb. It's stupid.
It's great.
But again, we could have done it in AI. And they could have done like
we did it for real. They got did the press it for real down there.
Glue Society and Jonathan Niemer. Like, you go to someone like him and you go, "Can we do this for real?" Yeah, cool. And right. and you, just nothing's a problem. And this thing was,
I didn't know they're involved. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah, right. Jonathan.
So again, you shared that out. You didn't.
Yeah, Glue Society and they did it and. Cool. Yeah, it was a windy day in Chicago.
And so that was part of your time in America? What, is that you in New York?
No. This is done out of London. This was done out of London. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Last bit. Favorite billboard?
I've not got one. I was thinking about this. I know that's a really shit answer.
That's good, because we haven't got much time.
No. I love too many. I love all the old original PlayStation.
You can have two or three.
I'd say the original PlayStation work as a group.
Right.
Nipples and face made out of logos and all that, period.
The Belford stuff. Yeah.
Okay. I'd say that. And
it's very hard to.
Many others.
Rick, thank you for coming.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
That was an absolute whistle stop tour, wasn't it? And honestly, from all of us here, a massive good luck.
Thank you.
Ace of Hearts sounds fucking great.
Yeah, we're excited to see what comes up.
Yeah, I'll come back and talk.
Come
about
back, show us
that we do.
Cheers, mate.
Excellent. Thank you.
Pleasure.
That was good. That was well timed.
It's good to be back in London, though, isn't it?
Very good. I'm very pleased with my headphones.
Should we say thanks to Gaz Music for hosting us up in Manchester? But it's nice to be back.
No, Gaz, it was very kind of you. But yeah, Adrian, we're happy to be back in the bosom.
Yeah, so it's lovely to be back here at Soho Radio.
Yeah, and I've got my headphones on, which makes me feel much more secure. It really messed up.
And we missed our trains on the way home as well. We were trying to get through our third episode and go, we've got to record all this extra stuff.
Was very, very stressful.
We just leant in and went, fuck it, there's another train.
And then
he
met Martha.
Just go to the pub.
You had a pint with Martha.
Yeah, we had a pint.
So that was good. Rick was excellent. Lovely chap. I hope they do well.
Yeah.
I think they will.
I'm sure they will. They've got
massively talented.
I mean, it's talented people. Yeah.
And great stories, because I think, you know, once you have a team in, we had Dan Fisher in, talked about stuff, but he gave us, you know, had worked on other stuff, obviously, since Dan had left, and then gave us another angle on some of the work. So, brilliant. Just so many great stories. So,
everyone, just as a plea, keep engaging with us on social. We're getting some great messages through from work that we've not seen in the wild. So it's good to see all this stuff coming in. If there's there's people or work that you think we should be talking about for either the podcast or for Ooh, That's Nice, keep sending it in.
Yeah.
It's great to hear from our community of
It's of brilliant.
Experts.
Our community is quite global. We have people from all over the world now sending yes. stuff. We are really loving it. So just keep it coming. And, you know, if it's of a certain standard, we'll feature it. I mean, obviously we have to have, you know, a little bit of a filter, but yeah, we just like putting stuff out there we think is decent and interesting and worth a chat.
Yeah,
and
we do this for the love of the medium, so just keep it yeah. coming because we love seeing all this stuff coming in.
Yeah,
it's really good.
So thanks to Soho Radio.
Yeah, and thanks
us.
To our sponsors, and thanks to you all for listening, which is amazing to come back yeah, home, yeah. back to London.
Here we are.
We've got more to come, more episodes.
There's lots coming, so yeah. keep listening, listeners.
Like and subscribe.
Bye.
The billboard at the end of my street is brought to you by Superoptimal, design intelligence for out of home. Superoptimal delivers simple, machine-driven analysis and actionable insights for reviewing and improving out of home ad design. Designers and media teams can quickly analyze billboard and poster designs, gain optimization feedback, and deliver out of home design that is fit for purpose. Test and learn. Make informed design decisions and elevate your out-of-home campaigns at superoptimal.ai.
Ooh, That's Nice is brought to you by View to Fill, the out-of-home campaign photography and video experts. View to Fill have spent a decade mastering the art of out-of-home campaign capture. They know how these campaigns run: adaptive display schedules, dynamic creatives, and high expectations. That's why brands trust them to deliver stunning photography and next-level videography. From drones to time-lapse and motion capture, View to Fill turn your campaign into powerful content that lives far beyond the humble billboard. Because out-of-home campaigns are not just about being seen, it's about being remembered and creating a legacy. Want to future-proof your next campaign? Visit View to Fill to capture the essence of your campaign. Our music is sponsored by Gas Music, delivering sound, music, and magic.